Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 20. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, what's going on, man?
Nothing too much, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you, sir. And just happy to be recording again.
Oh, my gosh. It's like the best, isn't it?
It is. It's something I look forward to every time, hanging out with you guys and chatting, yapping.
Took 3 weeks to get this one.
I know. That was a long 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was talking about being all pent up the last time, and then we got to get all this energy out, all this creepiness out.
Yeah. So,
and rocking and rolling, right?
Yeah. And it worked out fine. We all got our little vacations in and spent time with the fam, and then now let's just get back at it. And
getting back with the creepies.
And the listeners did not have to suffer through a week without our wonderful voices.
We're so smart. Yeah. Well, you came up with the mini idea, so, and that was, I think it's
that helped
wonderful
out.
Idea. Yeah,
yeah, that kind of definitely helps.
And,
yeah.
it's a lot of fun.
And we've been, I think we've been getting some good feedback.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
On the, you know, we're just looking at the numbers. It looks like it's popular. Mm-hmm. So, as always, we are glad you guys are back with us, listeners, creepies. And we have a lot of good things planned for you guys. So we have another...
We have some cool surprises coming up, and it is so exciting. It's exciting for us, so I know it's going to be exciting for you guys.
And one of them is this episode. I'm going to let Sean kind of give you a little...
Oh, my gosh. This is an interview. We've done a couple interviews this afternoon, and this one is going to be an interview with a local celebrity, radio celebrity. Mm-hmm. And so I think you guys are going to have lots of fun.
It was a fun interview.
It is going to be... Yeah. Lots of interesting stories, lots of fun, and a little bit of paranormal. So,
yeah,
enjoy this interview.
Yep. Hey, guys, we have another special guest for you on this episode. His name is Josh Arnold, and you can hear him in the mornings on the very popular syndicated radio show called The Bob and Tom Show. And he is also a stand-up comedian and happens to have his own podcast that I listen to called That Josh Arnold Podcast. Josh, welcome to our show. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
We're great.
No, we're doing good. Good.
Doing amazing.
We're excited. It's been 3 weeks since we've recorded. We did a bunch ahead of time because we've had, you know, 3 weeks in a row of vacation. So happy to be back at the microphones, and then have you on the show just makes it that much better.
Great. Good.
So, I have to tell him something, Josh. When we first started this, I think we were maybe 3 or 4 episodes in, and Todd said, I'm going to see if I can just try to get some interviews lined up. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, that sounds good. And he said, I'm going to try to get Josh Arnold. Do you know who that is? And Nate about like had a heart attack in his chair. And he's like, of course I know who Josh Arnold is. Are you kidding? And so I'm sitting here in my mind, I'm thinking Norfolk and Way, you know, there's inside joke there. But, and I was like, yeah, right. And so when he told me like, yeah, he said, of course I still, even when before we called, I'm like, I feel like I'm calling a girl or something, like getting all nervous and like, is Josh really going to be on the other end of this line or is this like a prank?
I know. I was like,
we're humbled to have you here.
Yeah. Did I really reach out to Josh Arnold?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are in awe, sir. We are.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So we appreciate you being here.
Oh, well, I'm happy to do it. Anybody who's spreading the word about, you know, the paranormal and the stuff like that is a friend of mine.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That's great.
Awesome. Well, let's start out, I guess, maybe telling the listeners, I know we always do this, maybe just a little bit about yourself, and then we can get into the fun stuff.
Sure, yeah. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri with 3 brothers, and we were fairly, you know, low on the economic side of things. So we just sort of, we would tend to, like, the money that we, like, that any kind of disposable income that my parents would have, we would usually just, you know, we could do things like rent movies and stuff like that. And we would often rent, you know, all kinds of things, but horror movies were always, kind of our favorite thing to do. So growing up watching, you know, all these movies about, the paranormal and the supernatural, and even more, you know, some of the like classic 80s slashers and stuff like that, really sort of piqued my interest at a young age regarding all things macabre. And my grandma and grandpa actually lived in what they considered a haunted house, and so I did have some experiences there. So ever since a young age, I've sort of been exposed to the paranormal, and just sort of enjoyed it ever since.
Awesome. That's really cool.
Sounds like our background.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of us do share that sort of, you know, there's like a collective memories of going to the video store and renting things and scaring. And like the thing about me is I love horror movies, but they genuinely scare me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
So judging from the name of your podcast, this stuff you have a real interest in, and it genuinely scares you as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then you're the same age as us, basically. I'm 42, and you're 43. We're all in that 40-50 range, and so it is. We do have a lot of collective like remembrances and movies that we, you know, that we all grew up with. So, and it did. It scared the bejesus out of us.
Oh man!
And we talk about on this podcast. That's why we like to bring up things that are not just the things that are made up, but things that can actually be real. And that people have experienced, that's what gives us the true creeps, like things that can really happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything without like a definitive answer is always, at the very least, mysterious, but oftentimes really creepy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't stop. It's like, okay, what? Yeah, nothing's resolved. It makes it worse.
Right.
And, yeah. You know what you just said, like growing up and renting movies and watching movies, oh, man, I miss those days of going to the, you know, renting a movie on a Friday or Saturday and hoping it's in, you know, and you're like, oh, there's one left, and grabbing whatever the movie title is. And my kids, you know, now they get on, you know, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, and it's instant, you know, but, and it's awesome. Technology is awesome. And I know it's 2021, but there's something about back going 1982 to the movie story, rental place, and just hoping whatever that movie's in, you know. And I don't know. I don't know.
It's not, you're saying it's not as nostalgic to sit on your couch and say decide whether you want to spend $5.99 or not.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I always loved it. You go to the movie store and you're like, oh, they got 10 copies. Oh, they're all gone too.
Yeah. Right. That was always my.
Yeah. So then you go to the older, like sometimes you're like, okay, well, I'm not getting the new release I wanted. I'll just go to the old stuff. And that's where you find some real gems that you may have missed out on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just awesome. I have, like, I'm sure some kids now, you're like, what? You had to get in your car and go to a store and go get what you wanted, and even then, it wasn't always there. Like, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's great.
Do you have a favorite, like, old show or old movie that you still go back to and it creeps you out or scares you?
Yeah, this isn't really supernatural, but the original Halloween, I think, is still so effective.
Yes.
And scared the hell out of me when I was a kid, and really does. I think it still really holds up. It's just it's just merciless when it comes.
Yeah.
All that movie wants to do is scare you. And then the one that is sort of supernatural related, I was older when I saw it, but the original Ju-on, which was remade into The Grudge.
Right. Okay. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I remember seeing that. I saw that in a theater, and there were two other guys in the theater. So there were only three of us in this giant theater. And at the end of the movie, we were all walking out, and they go, man, what was that about?
And, right.
Like, they kind of didn't get it or whatever. I go, I think, and instead of like, you know, so, well, what I think it's about, like, I just go, I think that movie was just meant to scare the hell out of anybody who sees it.
Yeah.
And it did. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The original Halloween is my all-time favorite. And it's always my go-to. And my son, who just turned 10, so he saw it this past Halloween for the first time. He loves it. And I'm like, oh, it just made me, you know, because I was in that age group when I saw it first. And, yeah, it just scared the crap out of me. And it's just awesome. It does. It definitely holds up. I agree.
Mm-hmm. We did an episode on it too.
Mm-hmm. Was he frightened during it?
Because it wasn't too much, because we're kind of protective as far as, you know, we have a 13-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son, and we're not, you know, like quick to show them anything gory or graphic, you know.
Right.
A couple times I'm like, you might want to look away, you know, but No, it didn't terrify. Like, it terrified me, and I you know, he was really enthralled, just liked it, and it, yeah. I said, well, what'd you think? He said, I thought it was cool, and his character's really cool because he thought that it wasn't so in your face. Like, he was methodical, how he walked slow, and his whole presence really. You know what I mean? I thought for a little 10-year-old, man, like. It just, in the mask, you know, the mask, it just says it all right there. And I thought it was, you know, like I said, when I was a kid, I was just like, oh my gosh. And Elijah was like, yeah, good movie, good scary movie, but just he handled it better than I did. I don't know if he loved it, you know. And like I said, we've let him see like A Quiet Place and, you know, movies like that, but anything that's like overly bloody and gory that we're kind of holding back, you know. And I'm not even into those. I'm not a big graphic gory type guy, you know. I want to be scared, but not into the whole I want to see the knife go through the guy's eye and sticking out the other end, you know what I mean? I just like, ugh.
We were talking, Josh, you know? That we on our third episode we did Halloween versus Exorcist, and we talked about how Halloween is all of like our favorite of all time, and how we can still turn it on and watch the, you know, see the jack-o'-lantern, and it just puts you in that mood. And I've seen it a ton of times, and then The Exorcist is one, like, one and done, I'm good, you know. You see that and you can't really bring yourself to watch that again. It gets so scary. But yeah, Halloween is definitely one of our
good point. The Exorcist is one that I'll easily watch Halloween at least once a year. But The Exorcist is like a once every 5 years.
Right, exactly.
Where I'm either watching it with the uninitiated, or I'm just like, I'll check it out again or whatever. And then it's like, oh, this is just so unpleasant.
Right.
And really, really scary. Like, it's you know, obviously everybody, it's easy to say that The Exorcist is scary, but we might be quick to sort of take that for granted, but no, like, it's crazy scary.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to explain it. It's just, yeah, like you said, crazy scary. Yeah, I was 9 years old when I first saw The Exorcist, and my mom and dad let me see some movies. You know, we joke about this to this day, but and my wife can't believe some of the movies they let me see. And I mean, Josh, I slept with my parents for a month, I believe, and then the next time I saw it was I was 29, so it took me 20 years to even attempt. And I was watching it. I was married previously, and my ex-wife was in the bedroom, and we had like a loft, I had like a room that's, I call it my sports room, and I had a TV in there and a computer, and I literally thought, okay, I'm gonna give it a shot. And what I did was I had it on in the background. And I'm on the computer as a buffer, so I'm kind of like listening to it, and kind of, where it's not just, you know, I'm staring right at it, you know, continuously. I'm like, okay, you know, I had to pause it. I'm kind of, and I barely got through it, and so now 20 years later, I have no part. I don't want it. I'm done. Twice as good.
They say that film critics called it an annihilation on your soul, and I think that's probably still an understatement, but that's right, you know.
Yeah.
There is one movie that. I'm 43 and don't have any kids, but when I do have kids, there is a particular movie I will show them on VHS. So my goal is to like dig out a VCR and have this on VHS and just go, look, you guys aren't really supposed to watch this, but I'm going to let you. It's on tape. And of course, they're going to be like, what is this? I'm going, well, this is how we used to watch things.
And that's hilarious.
Put this in and watch it, and it'll be The Blair Witch Project, because I think
back in the 1900s,
to watch it in that way, would be so effective.
We were doing it. We were looking at the Army of Darkness and the Evil Dead movies, and we were talking about, does anybody have those? And Nate pulled out his VCR and he's like, yeah, I've got them on VHS. And you're like, oh my God, that's amazing.
But I forgot I had them on VHS. I thought I had them on DVD. I was like, oh yeah, I got those. And I'm like looking. And I was like, I can't find them. So I went over to my VHS collection and opened up. And was like, oh yeah, they're VHS. Luckily, I have a player still.
And all the dust went all over his face.
Yeah. It's nostalgic, though.
Yeah. The Blair Witch. Yeah. I had met my current wife. I was in my 30s when I saw that. And I honestly wasn't sure if it was a real thing or not. And
they got me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought when it first came out, I thought that their little tell of, you know, finding these tapes out in the woods, I thought it was real.
Yeah, I did too. Right here. I got it.
Yeah, they have the most, arguably, the first really effective online marketing campaign.
Yes. Right.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
You could go to their website and it was like, yeah, we don't know what this is. We found these tapes. We're not too sure. And then I saw it opening day and I was like, well, that's the most horrifying thing I've ever seen. And
yeah. Right.
I know it's real divisive. There are a lot of horror fans who didn't think it was scary at all. But that's why I would want to show it to my kids that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
There's something about the VHS tape. Yeah, you're right.
It gives its own creepy factor. It
mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Josh, you said that have you had some experiences when you were younger or as a childhood?
Yeah. So my grandma and grandpa lived in this house and it was a normal suburban, you know, sort of built in the 1950s home in suburban St. Louis. And, you know, it was fairly cozy, but in certain areas of the house, you always would get a weird feeling. And, particularly in the basement and sometimes just walking down the hallway at night. And it was just like, man, it feels weird in here. There's something scary about it. You always kind of felt like there was somebody else in the room with you and there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the particular experiences I had were one day my grandma was doing the laundry in the basement and I was down there with her and my grandpa was at work and we heard him come home. We heard his footsteps go across the kitchen and then down the hallway. And I go, and my grandma goes, oh, grandpa must be home. And so I went up to see him and he wasn't home at all. There was nobody there.
Oh, wow. Ooh, that's crazy.
We heard distinct footsteps going across.
Wow.
So I came down and I go, grandpa's not here. And she goes, oh, it just must be the ghost. Like they were so used to it that she was just really nonchalant about it. And I was like, the ghost. And I had known about it. Like she would joke about it before, but I was like, how can you just be so flippant?
Yeah, right.
We talked
the ghost.
We talked about the
and
slippery.
She said it never bothered them.
That's crazy.
But it bothered we would feel really creeped. Like my brothers and I, we would feel really creeped out. And so would my mom and stuff like that. We always, probably the scariest one didn't concern me, but my mom and aunt, after my grandma died, and my grandpa had already been dead for a few years, they were cleaning out the house. And while they were cleaning some things, they heard this loud growl just from nowhere.
Mm.
And my mom looked at my aunt and said, did you hear that? And my aunt said, yeah. And they were like, let's just leave. And so they left.
Yeah. We are done.
We're good here.
Yeah.
We talked about the slippery noodle. Nate told us about kind of the history of it. It's a lot older than we ever had originally known. Like 1850, I think, right?
Somewhere around there.
Is that considered the oldest bar in Indianapolis?
I believe so.
They think it was part of like the Underground Railroad. Mm-hmm. But it had this. It has a couple entities in it, and they name them. George is like this guy with Carhartts in the basement, and then there's a prostitute that goes on the balcony, and her name's Sarah. And we were talking about how you'd have to for people to just be like, "Oh, that's Sarah. It's no big deal."
Yeah, just
George. He hangs out downstairs, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what you'd almost have. Your grandparents are probably just like, "Oh yeah, that's George. Don't mind George."
Yeah, exactly.
To desensitize yourself.
Yeah, that your reaction going, what? What do you mean ghost?
I thought you were joking about the ghost.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's interesting. Like your brothers, you know, they experienced too. You know, it's not just you. You're, you know, just by yourself that they felt something or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And even my grandma was attuned to it and used to it. But, you know, and nothing ever, the growl was probably the most aggressive thing I had heard from whatever was there. And my grandma claimed that this spirit or entity or whatever had moved with them, that it was actually at a house they had lived at before, and then they moved and it came with them.
So really? It was attached to them in some way.
Wow.
Who knows? And my grandma and I would occasionally, she was way into this. Like, she wasn't, she just liked this stuff. She thought it was fun and cool and scary. She liked being scared, and she liked scary movies, but she was also, you know, her really open-minded when it came to the supernatural. Right. We would do the Ouija board varied success. It was it was cool. It was fun.
Oh, man.
That makes me think of, like, Dan Aykroyd. He and his family, like, have those roots. That's where I know he came up with Ghostbusters because of his paranormal background. And he talks about a lot of those, you know, hanging out in those houses, and it was just super normal to have, like, seances and no big deal. Right. And that was just the family that he grew up in. And that to me, is just kind of crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Kind of cool. Boy, he's an encyclopedia when it comes to the supernatural and aliens and all that stuff.
Right.
He's almost a savant.
Yeah. He was on Rogan, and I was listening to him, and I shared him with Nate, and I was like, this is a great interview. Like, just listen. And Joe Rogan he sits there and he's like, and folks, he has no notes, not one note. This is all in his brain. And that it is. It's like, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
He
just rifles.
He considered himself on the spectrum.
Yeah, right.
he says he thinks he is. He's never been officially diagnosed. And, it's kind of interesting. I think folks on the spectrum, there's an argument by some parapsychologists and stuff that folks on the spectrum are more attuned to the supernatural.
That's right.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you on that, too. I'm in therapy. I'm an occupational therapist, and I've worked with, you know, all kind of different age groups, and you can kind of tell. I think, honestly, if we're being honest, probably all of us are on some kind of end of some kind of spectrum. But I've talked to parents, and they're always like trying to bring their kid to meet society's expectations. And I told one mother, I was like, your son is exceptionally gifted and brilliant. If anything, society needs to come up and meet him. And she was like, nobody has ever put it that way. And I'm like, seriously, like, what he has going on in his brain is exceptional, and he's going to do exceptional things with it. So don't feel ashamed of it. Like, celebrate it, honestly.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, because, like, I mean, look at Dan Aykroyd, what he's done in his comedic career and with all his creativity. He's channeled it okay.
Yeah, I think he's just fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've listened to him on one, maybe two podcasts in the past. And yeah, it's just amazing. I could listen to him for hours and hours, just all the stuff he knows. And it's amazing.
The only thing I haven't heard him discuss, and maybe you guys have, is he's got that vodka, the Crystal Skull.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Vodka.
Yep.
It seems to me that the Crystal Skulls have been, like, widely debunked.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard him talk about whether or not he agrees with that, or if he still thinks that there, I mean, do you guys know?
I know he, the interview with Rogan, he talks about the crystals and how they found them in various places in the world, trying to age them. They got into that discussion, but I don't know if he came out and said, oh yeah, I believe what these crystals are. But I think he likes the whole concept of it enough to make his bottle that.
Hmm. Right, so. Right.
The Indiana Jones 4 movie didn't help.
He's good friends with Spielberg and Lucas.
Yeah, right.
I wonder if he had anything to say about Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's always bittersweet when something is debunked. Well, first off, I would imagine you guys are similar to me in that there's a bit of skepticism when it comes to the debunking. It's like, oh, well, why are they, what don't they want us to know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yep. That's what makes that's fun to discuss too.
Right. But I also really appreciate things on, like, Ghost Adventures when they are debunking things, the evidence that they get. I think it lends credence to their other evidence.
We talked to, in a couple episodes ago, we talked to a ghost, she's a paranormal investigator, or ghost hunter, and her name is Erin Egnatz, and she talked to us, so she's a nurse by trade, but she goes out and does paranormal investigations all the time, and was fascinating to talk to, because she comes from a viewpoint where she assumes that it's not hauntings until she can prove otherwise, and then she always says that what you can find of scientific proof, that's where you find, you know, and it's that little small percentage, but she goes, she has found a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah
she's
it's
from
it's important to debunk the stuff that isn't, you know, that is debunkable. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because there's a lot of it out there.
Yeah, get rid of the fake and get to the real.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yeah, she was a great interview, and she's from Northern Indiana, and she goes everywhere, Josh. I mean, she just went to Tombstone a couple of weeks ago, and Gettysburg, and I mean, she goes to the big, you know, the big hot spots and some lesser known places. But yeah, she's big into it, and has all the equipment.
Waverly, right? She went to Waverly.
Yeah, Waverly in Louisville, yeah.
We may or may not be going on a ghost investigation with her. We've been trying to, we've been talking to her, and she's very open to people coming with her on these investigations, but nobody wants to. A lot of people don't. So she's open, like, online and social media. And we told her, we're like, we'll do it. But it's one of those things where we'll do it and we'll decide, you know, are we going to do this again or not? But it's going to be pretty wild.
Have you guys gone before?
Never.
No, I have not.
Nope.
I've been very intrigued by it and want to experience and do it, but the other part of me is like, I don't have enough guts to pull the trigger and do it.
I personally don't want to cry in front of a girl.
I'm all in, man. I'm ready.
Yep.
No, Josh, I haven't. Good. I have. Have you? Have you done any, like, any, I guess you call it investigations or?
It was a really large investigation, meaning there were like 30 of us, and it was, a haunted tour. It was a ghost tour in Alton, Illinois, which is considered to be one of the most haunted cities in America.
Right. Yep.
And it was great, man. At first, you know, my girlfriend at the time and I did it, and it was sort of just a, hey, this will be fun. And it turned out to be like we had some actual experiences, and it was great.
Wow.
It was great. That we went to this place called the McPike Mansion on one of the stops. And that's where I saw an orb for the first and only time in my life.
Hmm. That's wild.
Yes. We walked in and there was a guide and she was like, she was really eccentric and sort of Stevie Nicks-ish and stuff. So it would be easy to go, all right, well, she's playing a role really, really well here.
Right.
And,
yeah.
But I appreciated it. I was like, oh, this is fun and stuff. But then she would point some things out and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I don't know. This must be, it was really easy to believe that what she was pointing out was actually supernatural.
Wow.
So
we did.
Like for instance, she would go, oh my gosh, it's really cold in this spot here.
Yeah.
Feel it. And we would walk over and my God, if it wasn't like, you know, that feeling when you're swimming in a lake and the water's warm, but there's a weird cold patch.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It was exactly like that in the air. And there was no vent or anything nearby. We're like, what is, she was like, yeah, it's the ghost next to me or whatever. And then, but at the McPike Mansion, she was talking about the history of it. And then she goes, oh, we have a visitor. And she starts talking to nothing up at the top of the stairs.
Wow.
And then she says, why don't you come down and visit with us? And an orb started floating down the stairs and it got about halfway. And then it went back up the stairs and turned the corner. And there was no way. We all saw it, and she was beside herself. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for showing yourself to us and sharing time with us or whatever. And my jaw had to have been on the ground.
Right, yeah.
Because there was absolutely no way that I can think to fake that. It was it was just like an orb that you would see on any of the ghost hunting shows. There's no way it was like a light bulb on a string or something weird.
Or somebody playing tricks, yeah.
It was incredible. I'd never seen anything like it.
Unbelievable.
Huh.
I've heard Alton's pretty wild. Yeah, Alton's one of the big hot spots, cities in America for...
I really wanted to debunk it. I wanted to go, man, this was just supposed to be some kind of fun little, almost kitschy, like, ghost tour, and here we are. Actually seeing potentially legitimate paranormal activity. So
you got your money's worth then, right?
Oh, dude. Loved it. Loved it. Would do it again in a second. But I've not done one where it was like a skeleton crew and all the lights were off and, you know, it's 2 a.m. with your, and you've just got your EVP detectors or whatever.
Yeah.
I absolutely will. I will do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we know the girl that'll let you do that.
Yeah. Is there a place that you guys are aware of that you would absolutely not do a investigation at?
No. I mean, I can't think of for myself.
She told us that the worst places are asylums and jails. She said she's only run into two like really demonic type presences, and one of those was in a jail. And she said it looked like a big bat / basketball. And it just kept like swirling around her and her mom. And she said they had to leave, because it got to the point where her mom got into this almost like trance, and she said her mom wanted to stay, and she's like, we have to get out of here now. And she said that her mom, she even videotaped some of it. She has it on videotape, and her mom doesn't even remember the experience, but she had to like snap her out of it.
Yeah.
So she said she stays, she does those, but she said a lot of times you're going to feel the most dark presences in the asylums, mm-hmm. and the jails. So I think we've talked about this before, where we would probably go just about anywhere, as long as I wouldn't do it by myself. There's no way. Like, I definitely want somebody there that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And somebody else to confirm what I'm seeing, you know?
Yeah. My big thing is,
that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
But my big thing is, I'm not sleeping, and B, I'm bringing a bunch of flashlights and batteries.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm bringing my crucifix,
then I'm
garlic.
Game.
Yeah, as far as me, I want to go all of those places, and I would spend the night and, you know, sleep and do all that. And the two places I really want to do are like jails, you know, / prisons and asylum. And when she told us that, I'm like, oh, great.
This is number one.
Yeah, you're definitely all in.
I'm in. Now I'm Mr. Tough Guy right now on this microphone,
but
then
we'll see how it goes. Right?
Yeah, I'll get this 50-year-old butt running out of there so fast, probably. So,
but I mean, that's to me, there's nothing wrong with being afraid.
No kidding.
Like, that would just be all part of it. And from what I understand, if you are afraid, there's a chance that you're more of a magnet for activity.
Right. So, yeah, right. True. That's a good point.
Yeah. Well,
which is kind of a bit of a double-edged sword there. It's like, well, I want the activity, but I don't necessarily want to feel terrified. Exactly. But if I feel terrified, there'll be more activity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you know where all exits are.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did. My wife and I had never done a ghost tour, and during spring break, my wife and I went down to Nashville. We didn't take the kids. We just went down, and I tell this on one of the podcasts, but they took us around, and I was telling the guys, I was like, I thought that it's supposed to be a lantern guided tour around Nashville, and so I thought, we kept waiting. There was nobody there. I thought we were in the wrong place, and this whole group started to congregate. But there was no leader, and it said to get there 15 minutes early. So I'm thinking maybe they'll just be some kind of elaborate, you know, somebody appear. And Todd goes, so you thought a ghost was going to give you a ghost tour? And I was like, I was hoping. I felt a little gypped, but he did a great. This little guy in a Ford Focus pulled up, and he was all dressed in black. He did a great job. His name's Matt. And he took us around and gave us a great tour. It was a perfect night. But it was like, yeah, I wanted to tell him, like, where's the lantern? And, you know, but.
I really like the idea of a ghost showing up to lead a tour, but it's just your basic tour of Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right.
It's just like, well, here's the Writer's Row, where many of your favorite country songs have been written in the past.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And over here is the Hot Chicken restaurant, which is... When you said ghost tour, I appreciate the fact that you're a ghost, but...
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's where they
play football. Okay.
We had a tour the next day that was a food and drink tour, and it was like a 3-hour tour, and it was just as much fun, honestly, as the ghost tour. And we told the guy that was leading that one that we had a ghost tour, and it was almost like he was in competition. He's like, did you learn that on your ghost tour? Did you see that on your ghost tour? And I was like, no, we didn't see that, you know? So it was like, these tours are like really like serious about it, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, Josh, my wife and I and our kids, we just got back from... Tybee Island, Georgia, for our vacation, and we did a ghost tour in Savannah, which is, you know, one of the most haunted cities. And it was fun, but we're gonna do later on today, we're gonna do a couple of we call them middle aged minis, where they're just half hour little episodes, and I'm gonna talk about the places that we went to. But that was a cool place. That's I've never been there, and that city was awesome. But my gosh, the stories and the history and the architecture, everything just goes with it. And then when you got, you know, if you have some ghost stuff, you know, to talk about or learn about, it just makes it even better. And that's a neat place. I don't know if you've ever been to Savannah, but I recommend everybody going there, because it's, oh yeah, so you know, oh, just beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, Savannah's gorgeous. Nashville, obviously one of the best places in the country.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
I've taken, I try to go to Salem, Massachusetts every couple of years.
Oh.
Because I just love it so much, and it's so fun. And the last time I was there, I took a ghost tour, and we didn't see anything, but it was similar to what you were talking about with that Nashville tour. The guy was, you know, kind of in like a big top hat and an old sort sort of Jack the Ripper cape and took us to all these great historical places and told us. And he was so good that, you know, he was taking tips afterwards. And I was happy to tip him for the work that he had done. But he said near the end of the tour, he was talking about one of the most haunted places in the area was up on this giant hill, and that he wasn't going to include it because he just didn't feel like it was safe. And he was talking about how he goes, I'll tell you where it is if you want to go, but I would never go up there alone or anything like that.
Wow.
So he ended up, I asked him where it was and he gave me directions, and I went up there by myself.
Ooh.
And I had a little voice recorder that I used that at the time I was using for stand up. And I was like, oh, I'll just have this running while I'm exploring this hill. Mm-hmm. And I got about 10 feet into the woods on top of the hill, and I was like, I can't do it. And failed.
Or, it's the point of no return.
That is great.
Oh, the creepiness was so it was so pervasive. Like, and I was just, I was like, man, if I hear, like, there could easily just be a person in here, and I would flip out. So I really... Like, if somebody else was with me, I think I would have been able to go, no, let's keep going. But
yeah,
I was like, I can't do it alone. This is too crazy. So.
We heard that you were talking about places that you wouldn't go, and I don't think you can go, but in New Orleans, there's the La La Rue house, and it's got such a horrible history, but they say it's so haunted that, like, right now, it's not open for tours, and it's privately owned. But they say they'll take tours around it, and they'll say, like, this is a safe distance. I don't know what that is with mm-hmm. someplace haunted. But I had a friend of mine that she said she went down and took these tours, and they were talking about one of the hotels was so haunted that she would tell the story so much better. But she said that there was a couple that had stayed in this place, and they stayed on the top, like, penthouse floor. And they told him, you know, there'll be crying babies, and that's, you know, that's ghost activity. And this couple was so sure that there was no way that there was hauntings were real. And so they kept calling saying, could you get that baby to stop? We're like, there's nobody up there with you guys. It's just you. And they spent several nights there. And I guess when they got back home, they had the old style camera that you had to have it developed, you know. And they called back to this hotel and apologized. And they said, we have to apologize that you guys are truly haunted. And they're like, how did you know? They said, when we got back, we developed our pictures. And the pictures were not taken by them, but it was them sleeping. And it was a position like up. They were really tall ceilings. And they said it would have been way up on the ceiling taking pictures of us, and there were multiple pictures. And so
they
sent them back to the hotel to show, like, this is what we have, and, like, we're not joking. We were skeptical. So they said, but we're true believers now. And they're like, no, that we cannot explain how those pictures got taken.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that just creeps me out to say that story.
How crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, there's something there. I mean, there's got to be. I mean, what? Yeah, how do you explain that, you know?
I mean,
that's a great story.
At that time of, you know, having to go take your film to get developed and everything, and you end up with pictures like, how in the world did this happen?
Yeah. There's got to be some explanation, but
potentially required somebody to walk into that room with a ladder and set it up quietly, and then
and know where your camera's at.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. That's
super creepy.
That's
because it was intermixed with other pictures too. They said weird. Yeah, it's just weird.
Mm.
Yeah, nice. At best, it's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
But at worst, it's unthinkable.
Josh, any other places or locations that you've been to that gave you the creeps, or that you heard, you know, some history about that, you know, going in?
You know, I've always wanted to, a part of me wants to go to Bobby Mackey's Music World. Are you familiar with that?
I am, and we're going, three of us are going in October.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes,
Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen it a lot on different shows and read about it and stuff, and it seems to be a pretty... In fact, I think the Ghost Adventures dude say, don't come here. Just don't. It's not...
just don't.
Great.
A friend of mine, though, is an investigator, and she went and just got nothing. Oh. Her experience was as bland as you could... as anything. It was like she was just in a CVS or something. So, which, by the way, does have its creepy elements.
Right. Well, absolutely. Yeah, yes. Especially during COVID. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, I guess, you know, you never know, but that's a place that I has sort of intrigued. It has definitely piqued my interest.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going in October, and Jerry Pauly, he's the host of Hillbilly Horror Stories, and I've been friends with him for about 4 years, and he's kind of, he's our podcast mentor and, you know, and good friend. And he's done a few live events there, and he's doing one in October, and so three of us got tickets, and they'll do like a 2-hour live event through his, you know, for his podcast, and then after that we get a 1-hour tour. And so we yeah, cool. So that we're looking forward to it. But yeah, I've never been there, but I've heard multiple stories about it, and I guess, yeah, pretty intense. So we'll see what happens.
And then right after that, we're meeting up with Aaron to go do our paranormal investigation in Mitchell, Indiana.
At Whispers Estate.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a double whammy that day.
My wife, cool. My wife is saying, because I invited her, I said, why don't you come with us? And she's like, oh, at first she said, yeah, I think that'd be interesting. But now she's just trying to make sure that we have enough, my life insurance is all paid up. So let's see if you survive first.
Yeah, I'm like, this is so awesome. Then I could be going, what are we doing?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
We literally went to Bobby Mackey's and now we're doing an investigation. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's going to be, and it's in October. So
and in October.
Just before Halloween. Yeah.
At nighttime, like, what are we doing?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, no,
it should be fun.
But yeah, but what other places or you know that you've wanted to go to or have been to?
You know, no specific location comes to mind. I would like to do an asylum or something like that at one point, although I would be just terrified the whole time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
And then in terms of locations where I've been that were potentially haunted, I lived in, I spent a semester in school in London for a while and went to a few places, that were, purported to be haunted and stuff like that, but never really felt anything and certainly didn't see or hear anything. But, mildly related, I went on a Jack the Ripper tour in, London. That was one of the best tours I've ever been on.
That would be fascinating.
It was really cool and definitely creepy. And, I mean, just nuts walking around late at night in Whitechapel. And I remember the tour guide goes, hey, step into that little alleyway. And so we did. And he goes, you're standing at the murder site of so-and-so. We're like, good God.
Oh, that's crazy.
It was pretty wild.
No kidding.
So. We've talked a little bit about Jack the Ripper. That's something we're going to have to like cover in you know, more extensive fashion. But we also talked about H.H. Holmes. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Sure.
And how there's theories that H.H. Holmes might have been Jack the Ripper. And we kind of tantalized that theory for a while. So that's fascinating history.
I haven't looked too deeply in that theory, but it is certainly interesting on the surface.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Does the timeline add up?
Well, we talked about that. We talked about how we kind of played devil's advocate both ways, and it in theory could. Jeff Mudgett is his grandson, and he goes around talking about how he tries to convince audiences, and he takes a poll before and after, and to see how people, if they, and he treats it like almost like a court case. You know, really, you have to wipe all of your preconceived notions and what you've been told and seen in movies, and just listen to what he says. And when you listen, you're like, you know, actually, I could see where he would like to get an answer, because he said that, you know what, and we may never get an answer on either one of those cases, but it is, he really makes an intriguing point if you listen to him.
I don't buy it, Josh.
Todd's not a believer, but I came over into the camp just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't the MO seem to have shifted though too? From Ripper to Holmes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say it's, or that's why it's hard for me to believe it, just because of, you know, Holmes was just greed and whatever could, you know, I mean, what is he going to get out of, you know, as far as killing a bunch of prostitutes in London? There was nothing he's gaining from it. No financial.
It was like, early practice. Yeah. He was just honing his skills. My thing that he said, because a lot of it was like, yeah, you could maybe, you know, everybody had mustaches that looked like that. Everybody could, you know, different people could have looked similar to H.H. Holmes. But one thing that he felt like was a huge thing was his, in one of the Dear Boss letter from Jack the Ripper, it was like 96 point something, 97% matched with H.H. Holmes. And he said, I could have everybody in here do the same letter and you guys wouldn't even come close to that number. Mm-hmm. So that to me, I was like, oh, you know, that's kind of, and with his background in medicine and being a surgeon and all that kind of stuff, it's like, oh, I can almost see it. So anyway, it's interesting. He would be really interesting to sit down and talk to.
The whole problem with it is, as much evidence that supports the theory, there's just as much evidence that debunks the theory.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, and that's what makes it really hard is like, yeah, you can make a fighting judgment that he was Jack the Ripper, but then also there's no way he could have.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's similar to ghosts, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, anything like the Ouija boards, the EVPs, they all have some fairly compelling scientific, like there are scientific reasons why those things work the way they do,
mm-hmm.
and there are also paranormal reasons why they may work the way they do. So, I mean, again, that all just I think helps feed certainly my curiosity.
Oh yeah, and I think that's what makes it fascinating for a lot of people it catches your curiosity. You want to know why are these events happening.
Right.
You know, as bad as I would love to have some of that stuff resolved, some of the fun is not knowing. I mean, or maybe never
true.
Knowing.
Yeah,
you know,
good point.
And it's kind of so it just keeps the discussion going and the wonder and yeah. What Josh? What is your opinion on Ouija boards? Are you 50-50 on it, or are you all in, or not at all, or just?
Oh, I'm sorry. It kind of cut out a little bit. What was the question?
Oh, I'm sorry. What is your opinion on the Ouija boards? Are you, you know, kind of, 50-50 on it? And because that's kind of where I'm at on it. You know, I was just curious what you thought about the Ouija boards.
I love to believe that it's legit. And I'm going to say I'm probably 70-30 for that it's real. Because I've done it a ton. I've like, as kids, we would do it, and my friends and I, we would always do it. And I really feel like every time we would do it, it never felt pushed or faked. I mean, you could tell when somebody was manipulating it, the planchette, you could tell that somebody was manipulating it. But when it seemed to be going on its own, I mean, the rhythms that it would come up with and some of the quirks of like different spirits that we were, you know, supposedly talking to. It was like we would talk to different spirits and they would have their own sort of personality and ways that the planchette would be. So, yeah, I mean, if some neurologist or whatever said, hey, what you're doing is collectively as a group, you're all, your brains have decided that one of these will move swiftly and the other will be sluggish and this one will make a figure eight before, you know, that kind of, cause that's the kind of stuff that was happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you know, and then those ideas that you've created in your head are then causing your fingertips to do it so imperceptibly that, you're not aware that you are indeed moving it. You know, what am I going to do? Argue with a guy who's spent his whole life studying that kind of stuff.
I know
right.
But in fact, there was one. We had a Ouija board that we would do all the time. My buddies and I in like junior high, and we kept getting this one spirit. Like it felt like in that house, we were talking to at least three or four separate entities, and sometimes one would just take over out of nowhere, and sometimes we would ask for a particular one, and they would show up. But for a while there, this one that claimed it was Satan.
Oh, wow.
Who?
That's pretty heavy.
Share the board. So we'd be like, hey, can we talk to so-and-so again? I don't remember the other names. Satan would be like, yes. And then it would go back to doing, like, it would start spelling things the way Satan would. We'd be like, is this Satan? Yes. And I was like, I should take this back to the store and go, hey, I'm only getting Satan on this thing.
That's great.
Can I return just to see what they would do?
That's funny.
But, I don't know. And then there was one time where we, this could easily be debunked, but it was certainly fun for us. We put a dollar bill, like we folded it, and then set it down on, the kid's name was Paul, we set it down on his dresser. And then we said, hey, if there's somebody in here, knock down that dollar bill. And lo and behold, none of us moved, and the dollar bill flew off the dresser.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
but it is a dollar. It is a dollar bill.
It's a dollar, right? Sure. Yeah, right.
I mean, we didn't ask you to push over a book or something. So, But the timing of it was perfect. So we lost our minds.
Yeah, well, yeah. Right. I would too.
That's awesome.
I remember we used to creep each other out with the Bloody Mary thing, you know. The candles and go in there.
That gets to the movie that freaks me out is Candyman.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I wouldn't go in the bathroom without the light on for the longest time.
I know. creeps you out.
That's
the thing
awesome.
About Candyman is, and I agree, it's super creepy, and I'm really looking forward to the remake.
Yeah.
See what Jordan Peele, who wrote it, is going to do with it and stuff. But, you have, like, you're in control. Like, you have to say Candyman three times.
Yeah.
Which is pretty easy not to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You have the on and off switch.
Just don't go there. Right.
Right. Like, it's Michael Myers is at the door. There's not much, you know, you can't control any of that. But if you...
Yeah.
If you walk into a bathroom, all you have to do is not say Candyman, and you're all right.
You're good. Yeah. End of movie, right?
You kind of ask for it if you're going to go that far and to say it through whatever you have to do. That's true. That's a good
way. That is a really interesting, you know, play on urban legends and stuff. Like, you know, you can argue that we're asking for it if and when we go on these investigations. If all of a sudden we're scratched or bitten by something potentially demonic, well, we essentially said Candyman, didn't we?
Yeah,
that's right. That's a good
put
point.
Put yourself in the situation. So
that's what my wife said about this going down to that Whispers Estate. She said, do not bring anything home. And I'm like, how do I do that?
Right.
You want to give me some strategies?
Yeah.
That'll be an uncomfortable ride home. You're like, are you sure you want to come with us?
Yeah.
kind of creeping me out. Or?
Yeah.
That's true, though, Josh. Like, we are going to do that investigation. We have control. We either do it or don't, and we're going to, we'll see what happens. I guess we're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, our curiosity certainly, gets the better of us, and there's some lessons in all these ghost stories and horror movies and stuff that
that's right.
Are there, but is there a particular ghost movie that you guys think is the best in terms of maybe... accuracy or realism?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a real good question.
Well, a lot of my problem with movies about hauntings is the rules aren't always clear.
Yeah.
Like, and there are only a couple I can think of that I thought established the rules well and then followed through with, like, something like The Others.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah,
great movie.
That was excellent.
Underrated.
The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Like, nothing, there's nothing where you go, all right. It all feels, the tone and the rules all feel well established.
Yeah.
That movie is one of my favorites, and it is so underrated. I love The Others.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
Yeah, I can't help but think, and I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a twist, and I can't help but think maybe people got the twist sort of distracts people from how good that movie really is.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw it the first time, I mean, because I was like, oh, man. I thought, I mean, it was awesome. But, it got me, when the reveal really what was going on. And I've seen that movie three or four times. And it's just one of them. Yeah, it's a good one. I can't think of, what about you guys?
I don't know if this movie checks all the boxes, but I thought, personally, that it was done pretty well. I mean, it's definitely it scared me. It's one of the few that I sat there and I'm like, ooh, I'm scared. Was Sinister.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
That
before,
is a
too,
good one.
Yeah, yeah, that is.
Yeah.
And I would say that those rules are fair. They're not too based in reality, but in the reality of the film itself, I think I don't think it cheats you that much.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would throw Insidious into that basket as well. And then later I realized I was listening to James Wan, and he said, Lee Wannell or whatever, the guy who wrote it. He said that it was he and James, what they decided to do was that there would be no false scares in Insidious, that every sound and every sight or whatever would be legit. So there's no cat jumping out of a pantry, that kind of stuff. And when you go back and watch it, they did it. Every scare is legit. There's no fake outs in that movie at all. And boy, is that one, I think that one's really effective.
Yeah. Those are good movies. Yeah. My wife and I like, because she wouldn't want to go on investigations. And I mean, of course, she did the ghost tour with me and our kids. And, they all did it for me. God love them. But they enjoyed themselves more than you know they thought they would. But my wife does like the scary movies, and she can only watch like I could watch 20 in a row. But she's like, okay, after a couple, can we watch something different? You know, and I'm like, sure, yeah. That's fine. I get it. You know. But yeah, the Insidious and then the Conjuring movies. We like the Conjuring, and I want to see the third one really, really bad since it's a true story that happened. You know, a true crime. Now what? The paranormal side of it, if that was influenced or not, that's up for debate. But
I really like that new one we talked about. My wife got us to watch. She's not a big fan of scary movies because it sticks with her for days and it alters her reality. But she watched The Haunting of Bly Manor on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. We just watched
that. She was like, and that was really good. It's like nine parts, but it was done excellent. I don't want to give it away either, but it's, you know, you can kind of see where they're going with it. But then there's like, oh, I didn't know how this was going to go.
Sure.
I really liked it. I liked what they did with it.
Hmm. I'll have to check it out because I've read The Turn of the Screw, and I know it's based on, I think Bly Manor is in Turn of the Screw, so I'm assuming that's what they're referring to in the title there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So I'll have to give it a shot. I just haven't because I figured I kind of knew the story. There are so many adaptations of that story.
Right.
But
yeah, they do a really good job of it.
I should definitely check it out.
Well, that's like the story of Amityville.
Oh, Amityville Horror, yeah.
I mean, how many movies and differences have they come up with on that?
Yep.
I mean, it's a real place, but...
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that...
Man, it sure is a real place, but that's another one that's been so widely debunked.
Yeah. I was just going to say, there's so much evidence that shows that they really did. That was contrived. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's
a great horror movie, but yeah.
Yeah, it makes a great horror movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they are fun, aren't they? Yeah,
that's the fun, you know.
Have you guys read that book, The Amityville Horror?
Uh-uh.
I have not.
No, I haven't.
It's worth. It's when you. It's written almost, and I don't mean to disparage. I think it's Jay Anson, the author or whatever. too much, except for the fact that maybe he's just a bold-faced liar. But
that definitely could be.
There are many chapters that end like a junior high story would end with with a sentence that ends at an exclamation point.
Oh.
So you're reading along, and all of a sudden the last sentence is, "And then there were two eyes at the window."
Oh. Gotcha, right?
All right.
That's a letdown, isn't it?
I think you said that on your podcast, on your last couple episodes, you said that. Yeah, talking about that junior high type writing. It's like, it cracked
me up. Yeah, like, oh, you can be scary without having to do, like, that's not scary.
Right. It's demeaning, right?
Or the whole, your essay needs to be 500 words. Oh, it was very, 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 very scary.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what it feels like most of the time.
That is awesome.
And I guess, does the original house even have that window?
Oh. I believe it does.
Oh, okay. It does have the two windows that sort of...
Yeah, I believe it does. Guys, yeah.
Now, they changed the address. I know that. They changed the house address or the house numbers. But everybody still knows which house.
Yeah, so you didn't fool anybody.
Hasn't really, done much.
I'm up to you. I know what you guys are up to.
Yeah. But
that's funny.
Talking about those movies are so fun. But like I said, if they're corny or... truth, you know, a lot more truth than not. It's just, oh man, it just makes me think back to the good old days, 70s and 80s, like we were talking about earlier. Just, I don't know, just something about that time.
There's a whole set of rules to all those, too.
And like, you know, and in The Shining, I was a kid when I watched The Shining, scared the crud out of me, and then it still does, it still creeps me out just because of that. You know, it's not so, those are the type of movies I really like, too, because they don't, like I said, I'm not into the gore and the graphic, but just creep me out, just kind of. That whole Jack Torrance character and just how he just started going mad. And
Stephen King is a genius, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got stories for days. Yeah.
Man, I mean, you got Pet Sematary.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're all fabulous.
Yep.
You're talking about good movies that really get you in that, like, you know, those Stephen King based are like the ones that are like, ugh, they drive me up a wall in a good way, but yeah.
Yep.
I mean, those are all movies that have at least one or two scenes that have probably stuck with us all. Like, you know, we were in our formative years watching those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the miniseries It, If you watch it as a grown man watching it today, you're like, what were we that scared about?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But that stuff, and then Pet Sematary, if the story itself didn't creep you out, the sister with spina bifida or whatever.
Yeah, that was the scariest thing in there, right?
Yeah.
That's
I always,
you know, that's actually a dude who played that role.
Really?
Oh,
yeah. And that's the crazy reason that they cast the guy is they wanted it to, from what I understand, they wanted it to feel even more like something more off than just like the makeup and the creepiness of the situation. They wanted the look of like her face just to be slightly off, but you couldn't tell why
it worked.
Yeah,
it definitely worked.
Yeah, it definitely
they did a good job. Yeah,
the part of that movie that always gets me is when the little boy's under the bed and slices the Achilles the grandpa or the old man. Just sends chills up my spine.
So visceral. It's the one, it's the 1-2 punch of he gets the Achilles and then the old man falls and then he gets him across the crease of the mouth. Two places where, like, if you had to name two places you don't want a paper cut, you would pick those, let alone a scalpel going across.
Sure. Yeah, in any movie with, a kid that's doing something like that, it's like, oh, man, that's just another level of creepiness, you know?
Yeah.
We've talked on here about Poltergeist before, and those are all movies that can, you just think of the scene with the pool scene with the skeleton come after the lady that falls in the mud. It's like, oh.
The doll. The clown.
Yeah. You know. Those just stick, and they still stick with us to this day. Like, we used to get together and see how tough we could be to make it through these movies, and it was like, oh. We would act all tough, but it was rough, man.
Then wasn't it that skeleton pool scene? Those were real skeletons, too.
They didn't tell them either. Yeah. After they shot the scenes, they said they told them, like, oh, by the way, those are real skeletons. Yep. Yes, that's not an urban legend. That's true, yeah. It's scary. No wonder it was, like, cursed.
Yeah.
Do you like the Omen movies? The first one got me when I was a kid, and it still creeps me out as an adult. Just, again, that little boy, supposed Damien, to be possessed. Yeah, Damien. Ugh.
Yeah, I think the Omen 1 definitely holds up. It's been a while since I've seen the 2 and Final Conflict. I haven't seen those in a long time, but the first one's terrifying, and I thought the remake had its qualities as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know. I don't know if they. I don't know. Maybe I did know that, but I don't know if I knew they remade it, the Omen.
Yeah, it's not bad. Liev Schreiber and
he's a good actor.
I forget who else is in it, but it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Because sometimes they do they remade the Poltergeist, and it was okay. My wife and I watched it, but I'm like, no, it doesn't.
It's hard to remake those.
Yeah, it doesn't compare to the old one, the 1980 whatever, 2 or 83.
Yep.
Okay, well, I have to check that out. I have to check out the remake of The Omen. I didn't know that.
Josh,
I'm not anti remake, but there have been some rough ones.
Right. Josh, I wanted to tell one thing. Here's one thing with the Bob and Tom show. It is something that I've grown up with. I know we talked about this one before we started the interview, but it is near and dear to my heart. And I think all the guys, we've talked about this before, that when I was a kid, it was the coolest thing, like, to start getting to listen to Bob and Tom. Like, I had a friend, his dad would listen, and they let him listen to the tapes and the CDs. And my dad would go, he was a traveling salesman, and so he would listen. And he'd be like, oh, you're not old enough. But when I got old enough to listen, I felt real like I was coming of age, And so that's a big deal. And so, like, for you to be on that show is just, I bet it's just amazing. But I was listening to you guys the other morning, and that you guys were talking about how there's evidence in, like, the 5th and 6th century in the medieval times of digging up people, digging up the dead, and that there was a belief that these people were zombies, or there's evidence that zombies existed, or the belief of zombies. And they're like, I think Tom brought it up. He said, why would you ever dig them up? Like, if you think they're zombies, wouldn't you want to, like, bury them deeper or cut their legs off or cut them off at the ankles? Make it harder for them to move around.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good point. And that was actually the evidence they found, was that they would dig these bodies up and then twist their heads around and or cut off their feet.
Isn't that crazy?
So that if they were to become the living dead, they couldn't
get very far.
Yeah, they'd be completely ineffectual. So
I thought that that was a great talk.
Do
honestly,
that before you bury them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right? I know. It's just so creepy. But yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so up and down our alley.
I guess to get some rascals or something, get on there and for better.
But yeah, I had that thought the other day as I'm listening to it, and I was like, my childhood me sitting here watching me or listen, you know, if I was watching or listening to Bob and Tom. Would just be like, oh, that is so cool, you know, and it's
and it was. So. I mean, it's amazing for me because it's almost literally a dream come true. They were syndicated in St. Louis, and I would listen to them and call. I think it was 1-800 buy this and order their CDs, and then after 6 weeks, get them in the mail and listen to them with my friends and just love it. And then, you know, and as a comedian, when I first started doing stand up, it was. Everybody was sort of working on sets to get on late night. And I was like, man, my goal is to get on the Bob and Tom show. And so then to get on there as a guest was incredible. And then to guest host and then to eventually be a part of the crew is nuts. And in a way it's similar to remakes. It's not what it was. It's a different show now,
right. Yeah,
but it's good, in its new ways. And
absolutely,
I think it does. I know I try my best to honor what it's always been. Mm-hmm. And because I'm first and foremost a fan of what it's always been.
And that's the funny thing is because when Bob was leaving and it was like, oh, he's going to retire. Oh, I'll probably not listen to it as much as I normally do. And it won't be the same show. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, it's good.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
It's still, I almost laugh at that now. Like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's still, still fun.
Thank you. And but it can't be the same show. I mean, nobody.
No.
I never wanted to go in there wanting to fill his shoes at all because it's impossible.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring what I could. To it, and it is different. So
you do do a great job.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. That really does mean a lot because it's important to me. To what they built is so great, and I would never want to dishonor it by not doing my best. So.
I mean, my opinion is just change it to the Josh and Chick show and then kick Tom out of there. And then, you know, hey, you gave it a run, old man. Let's move it. No.
And I love Tom. I love Chick McGee, too. Oh, my God.
And Christy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. These are
all you guys are great. All you guys do a wonderful job. And when I'm in my car, when I go home, because I work at a church, you know, my main job during the day, and then I own a cleaning business. So I get home a lot of late evenings, and I get out of my car, and I put that – 94.7. So when I get up in the morning, that's what I'm going to listen to on my way home. My quick 7 minute drive to work.
In the morning, it's laughter in the morning, and it's great music. And I've listened to the music. Since I can remember, I used to try to like be super cool and like work out, and I'd listen to Q95, and that's how I just listen to a classic rock. Now, it would just make me feel so cool. Mm-hmm. But I still listen. I'm honored to still listen to that because that, like I said, that's these are our boyhood heroes.
Oh
and
yeah,
I'm in the medical field, and to me, laughter is the best medicine.
Yep.
And that's, we have students come through our hospital, and that's one of the things I tell them is like, try to get your patients when it's appropriate to laugh. Like if you can get them to laugh through one session, you've done them a world of good. Cause that is truly the best medicine. Uh-huh. So you guys are doing, you're doing amazing work by just getting people to take a minute from their life.
Yeah.
So, one of you works at a hospital, or at least is it a hospital?
Yeah. Yeah. Down at Johnson Memorial. Yep.
Okay, so one of you is in a hospital, the other is in a church most of the day?
Yeah, so I work in maintenance at a Christian church during the day, and then I own a commercial cleaning business nights and weekends. Yep.
Do you guys ever feel presences there, and not necessarily supernatural, but maybe even faith-based, or have you ever had any sort of feelings that were sort of beyond your knowledge?
I know what Todd's going to say.
I
have not had anything personal. I've heard so many people tell me stories of not just our hospital, but different, you know, and there we tell people all the time, like people pass away there. This is a place where people do pass away. People pass away and they have some of the worst parts of their life. So I know that there, you know, that definitely can exist. And I try not to think about too much, you know, how many people have been in the gowns that we see in the beds and all that. But there is like certain parts of our hospital that supposedly certain rooms are haunted. I've never seen anything. We just heard the stories. But I know I've heard nursing homes and other hospitals, like countless stories of seeing people like light legs underneath curtains being visited by somebody that was just about to die and be, you know, angels and beings and things around people. Or when you're with them, when they do pass away, those experiences are pretty heavy when people do pass over. And I think that's remarkable. So yeah. I've got countless stories of that.
Yeah.
As far as me, Josh, I've had one experience, and I told this on one of the episodes. This happened about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was on a Friday, and I was dog tired, and it was around lunchtime. So I ate my lunch, and we have like a little first aid room area, little couch, and I'm like, I'm just gonna lay down. You know, I'll set my timer on my phone so I can wake up, get back to work, and which I did. And so as it was getting closer to like when I woke up to get going, I couldn't move. I couldn't get up, and I was wide awake. I wasn't asleep. I wasn't dreaming. It was like the only way I could say is like somebody was holding, like something was holding me down, and I was trying to fight for a good 10, 15 minutes. I could not get up, and my eyes were wide awake. I could see my phone, it was like this, and I was panicking, and I'm like I said, all by myself, and I had never had that happen in my life. And so I'm kind of like, okay, I've got to bust through, and I got to wake up, or I mean, not wake up, but like get up off this, you know, and yeah, and it was in the church, and whatever it was, whatever it had, you know, wanted from me or whatever, I don't know. But yeah, it was really, really creepy. I've never experienced that before or after, but it was something holding me down, just like pinning me down, and I couldn't, and I was wide awake. I was not dreaming or imagining it or anything.
So, was it a threatening feeling?
I was kind of panicked more than like scared. And once I finally got up and sat up and grabbed my phone, I was out of there. It was one of those where I was like, what in the heck just happened? You know, but I wasn't feeling like, oh my gosh, is it chasing me? Is it going to take, you know, go home with me? I didn't feel like that. I just felt, what in the world was that? Yeah. So.
Yeah. And there are plenty who would say, well, you had sleep paralysis. You had a case of sleep paralysis, and that, the fact that you hadn't had it before and after might, it is an argument that it was something else, but, somebody could debunk that and, or, you know, in their mind, and others would go, oh my gosh, you definitely had a real experience there. It's just, I think it's interesting that if you're working in a church or you're working in a hospital, I wonder if, I think it's a fair question that, like, you know, a lot of paranormal activity, if it's not residual, like a soldier on Gettysburg or something like that, we often think it's got some negative. There are a lot of negative connotations. It's a demon, or it's somebody who's been murdered and is still in pain and looking for vengeance or something. Whereas in a hospital and or a church, could the opposite be true? Could there be angels in those areas, spirits that provide comfort and and help guide, you know, people on? So I was just curious if you'd ever had any feelings like that.
Yeah, I have a couple, two or three coworkers. They say that they've heard stuff. They are convinced there's something that they, whether it's a ghost or whatever, that is in the church, you know, and even my supervisor has said that, you know, I'll tell you what, I mean, it's a beautiful church, and, you know, I've been there for 16 years, and we're renovating the sanctuary, the main sanctuary, and it's a huge church. But I'll tell you what, it's, you know, when it's dark, and if you're working at nighttime, I work during the day, but, you know, every once in a while, you know, I'll be in there in the evenings or late night, and it can creep you out. It can still give you that feeling of, like, you know,
interesting dichotomy too, because whether you're faithful or not or whatever, isn't it weird? It's weird that churches can be really creepy. When they're meant to be the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And we talked about that too, that churches sometimes would be the perfect place for, you know, kind of maniacal or dark spirits to attack somebody.
Well, and
When
I first started there, we had a lady that worked part-time, and a faithful woman, and she said that, you know, when you're sitting there during service, and there's, you know, empty chair, empty pew, don't for one, you know, minute think that it's not filled because there's demons that can sit in there right next to you. And I'm like, holy, what is going on? I'm like,
that gives you a whole new light.
Yeah, and she was dead serious. She wasn't trying to, like, be silly or creepy. She was just like, yeah, I mean, they're, you know, I'm like, you mean, and, but I never thought about that. I'm like, well, wait a minute, this is a church. They can't sit, you know, they can't sit there. She's like, absolutely they can. And they're gonna try to mess with you and distract you. And I'm like, well, so now 16 years later, I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely, I believe that. But I'm like, oh my gosh, thanks a lot. It's like my first day there, and I'm like, like, okay.
Oh man,
yeah,
yeah, that's really interesting.
But yeah,
as far as the hospital goes, I would be lying if I told you it can be. I'm in rehabilitation, occupational therapy, and we go and see people. You know, we might be celebrating somebody after a surgery as they're making progress, or somebody getting over an illness. But we go to the other spectrum where people are starting to go the other way, going on hospice. And so especially through students' eyes, it's really enduring, because, you know, I remember showing one of our students this shoulder replacement that she was real, the patient was very happy, and the husband, and we had a great experience. And then the next thing we know, we got pulled into this room where this family wanted to tell us how much they appreciated working with their family member, but they had decided hospice, and they were giving us hugs. And she said outside, she goes, I don't know how you do this, like, up and down. But I told her, I said, it is an emotional roller coaster, but you have to know you're a human being, part of human experiences. These aren't just widgets, you know, that you're working with. These are people. And so you definitely get, there's a certain amount of energy that you do feel in a lot of these rooms. And I tell people, like, we're just trying to, we're just the tools that help you to heal. The human bodies is what healing. And then there's prayer and, you know, the love of and support of your families. That's some of the most positive and great medicine that you can get, on top of all these other healing. Not to say that the doctors and the nurses and the medicines that you receive aren't important. They're just, but they're there as a support. So I've definitely had a lot of those feelings over the years, for sure.
That's amazing. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Nate, our sound guy, he's got a quick little good story. I was telling when you had that poisoning,
the galvanized poisoning. Yeah, I'm an iron worker, so it's not uncommon for me to weld on galvanized steel, and you can get sick by breathing it too much. And one of the worst cases I had, it basically gives you a flu symptoms. You get a fever, chills, sweating, you know, just like flu. And there's one time, I guess my fever was high enough or something like that, I fell asleep, and then I had like an outer body experience. Like, I felt myself come out of myself, and I was like floating around above me looking at my body. And then I shot back in my body and I woke up.
I was like, wow. Do you remember having any feelings while you were looking at your body?
I remember I was looking, I was like, this is weird. What is going on?
And
it was really
like
mind blowing.
You had to get back to your body, or
not necessarily? I remember I went around my body one full circle, and then I just shot back in there, and then I woke up.
We talked about it like being some Pink Floyd stuff there.
Yeah, yeah, right. Now, obviously, I was poisoned.
Yeah,
so
poisoned. You know, you
so. Man.
No, I thought that was a really cool one, though, because, like, yeah, I've never had that, you know.
And that's got to be something that you don't forget. And when you share it, you know, that's another thing. Is that why a lot of people who, and I would never give somebody a hard time for saying that they don't believe in any of this.
Right, absolutely.
They have their own experiences and their own history and beliefs. And, you know, why would I ever disparage how they feel or what they think? But, when people talk about this stuff and their experiences, they are doing so knowing that they could potentially be mocked.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, to me, that always lends a little more credence to their story.
Yeah, that's true. They're taking a risk. We tell people from the beginning of this podcast, Todd and I kind of talked about where we come from and why we're doing what we're doing. And we tried to build a community of you know, where people can come and share their stories and not be judged. And knowing that, like, just because I'm saying something doesn't make it right, or just because Todd feels a certain way. And it's a place where people can share and feel part of this community. But then they also, and then there's a very strong, push towards mental health and people making sure that they're getting help with that, because for us, it's about having a good time and making people aware of some of these fun and creepy things. But then also, like, hey, we're all struggling out there, and you got to go get help, and we're here, and there's a bunch of people that's got your back, and we're here for you as a community. So that to us has been, like, we love what we're doing here, but that's like the most important thing, where I feel like I'm, you know, actually doing something for people and help, and, you know, trying to help my little corner of the earth, you know, that we're trying to make it a little bit better place, you know?
That's great. Yeah. I mean, that's the most important thing. And we, as a society, we still have a long way to go when it comes to, supporting mental health.
Right.
And, we're certainly getting better, but it's more than just, you know, advertising, throwing a commercial for Paxil or whatever on TV. I mean, there's a lot more. There's still so much about mental illness that is misunderstood, and it needs to be. We have to talk about it. Otherwise, it's an issue that will just get worse as opposed to better.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
I agree. Yeah, we're having a fun doing this podcast, and like Sean said, you know, we love the creepy stuff, and it's fun, you know, and it's, we've all got jobs and, you know, wives and kids and all that, so it's just a time to get together, hang out, and talk about, like this episode, you know, scary movies and places, but we've got to give a little bit more than that too. You know, we want to give back, and you know, so if it helps one person, hey, it's worth it, you know? So.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I would argue that scary movies and talking about things like supernatural and extraterrestrial and cryptozoology, any of those sort of subjects, are in a way us exploring our mental health.
That's
and,
right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Got a point.
And exercising some demons and training ourselves to overcome adversity and mystery and being able to live without solid answers.
Yeah,
I think that it's all related in a way. So it's been a real pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Right back at you, Josh. Honestly,
this is like a dream come true.
Yeah,
and we don't want to take any more time up, even though we could talk to you for another 5 hours. But you probably don't have that much.
We've
time.
Tried very hard not to gush all over you too, as fans.
Yeah. So before we wrap it up, Josh, why don't you tell our listeners like how they can follow you, you know, and on social media or whatever, and all that good stuff.
Sure, yeah. I'm on, I've got a Twitter, but I'll be honest, I haven't checked it in about 3 years. So I have a real love-hate relationship with social media.
I hear you. No. Yep.
You're not alone.
The one that I kind of have the most fun on is Instagram. I would recommend following me there. It's @JoshArnold. And you can find out about my stand-up tour dates and my podcast, and then just general silliness with the Bob and Tom Show, whatever. And also my website, @joshArnold.com. I have all my stand-up dates on there. So
awesome.
That is so cool.
Great. Awesome. Well, anything else you want to leave before, you know, or say before we wrap it up? Or
No, I appreciate what you guys are doing and for having me on. And
it was our pleasure.
Everybody out there, just sort of keep your minds open and your eyes and ears open, and definitely share your stories.
Awesome. I agree.
Yeah, I can't say it any better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Josh. We appreciate it once again, and you have a good rest of the day.
Hey, you too. You guys are very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll see you. So, guys, wasn't that a fun interview?
Oh, my God.
Mr. Josh Arnold.
That was amazing. It was so hilarious. Cool.
And he loves his paranormal and creepy stuff.
He wanted to get right into it, didn't he?
It was
like, oh, we might talk a little bit about Q95 or comedy or whatever, his roots in that. And he's like, let's dive in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Talk about movies and, I like when he was talking about the, you know, the VHS years.
And
the old school way of watching a movie that our kids have no idea what that
exactly.
is. So. No, I really enjoyed it.
He's just a really cool guy. I texted Jenna and I was like, we just got done with that interview. And he's such a cool guy, you know, like. Mm-hmm. It's really neat.
Down to earth, and that's, it's kind of like he was sitting here with us.
It was very surreal,
it was fantastic.
Though. I know, we were like, because I mentioned that in the interview about, like, oh, yeah, we might, or we'll see if Josh Arnold will be on. You guys know Josh Arnold? Yeah, we know Josh Arnold. And, like, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So it was just really cool for that to happen.
Yeah. Well, when I sent that email and he, you know, I was like, yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, all he can say is no or not respond, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he responded like 4 or 5 days later and said, sure, gents, let me know. I'm like,
isn't that cool?
Really? I mean, he's like, really?
I'm like, heck yeah.
Awesome. No, it was fun. That was a good interview. Yeah. He even asked us questions.
Yeah, he did. I was like, whoa, this is cool.
I was like, wait a minute. Josh Arnold asking.
Yeah, he cares questions. About what we think. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was awesome. So thank you, Mr. Arnold.
It was like sitting at a bar having a drink with him. You know what I mean?
It was. It was very.
Chilling out, hanging out.
Yep.
I mean, it was really like he was here.
Talking scary, creepy stuff.
It was fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So thank you for doing that, Josh. That was awesome.
And I know you guys, listeners, and you know, enjoyed that. So, yeah. So anyway, let's turn it over to you, Mr. Sean.
Mr. Sean has the middle-aged moment. This one, it's kind of funny because we're going to do a little bit of the joke corner, you know, the comedy corner that we talked about. I have to make a joke about, obviously, I'm well into my 40s. Nate's into his 40s. Todd has now hit the 50 mark. So I have to tell you, Jenna's going to be 40. She's turning 40 the end of this month.
She is still not 40.
She is not 40. She's still the youngin'. She's in the 30s.
Oh,
she's a little whippersnapper. But the girl that covered for me during vacation, her name is Candy. Hello. Shout out to Candy.
Hey, Candy.
She's awesome. She's hilarious.
Is she a listener?
She could, she tells me that her husband enjoys this stuff, and I'm like, you've got to listen. So now I'm going to have to tell her.
Then I take my shout.
No. We're going to get her.
He's like, no, she covered for me.
We're going to get her with this. Yeah.
Just kidding.
She covers for me on vacation, so she's very important. Okay. But I'll see. Maybe you never know. She might listen to this one.
Right.
But this is Josh Arnold, for God's sakes. She should listen to this one. So,
yeah.
But she left a little. It's like a Mardi Gras shot glass, and it says, you know, Happy 40th and all this stuff, and it has Mardi Gras beads on it. And so she said, I left that for Jenna. She left it on my desk, and she's told me. And I said, hey, thanks for that. Jenna will love it. And she's like, I thought she was going to be 40. I wasn't sure if that's what you said. And I'm like, yeah, she's turning 40. And she told me, she said, you and Jenna enjoy your 40s because in your 50s. That's when the check engine light comes on. So
that
I thought
Todd
could tell us all about that. So anyway,
I've had them come on before that though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They just come on more frequently.
So I,
it's sad.
I've got all kind of fun stuff for middle-aged moments. And this one's
cool.
So with this interview, it was so lighthearted anyway. So it's not like I've got to we got to come out of the creepiness and all the scary spooky stuff. Not really. But I thought this was good. I'm a huge music lover, and I love, you know, I've done a lot of songs on here. So I'm going to do one of my favorites, the Eagles. We all know the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
We love the Eagles. And I've actually sang this to my kids for years, and I'm pretty sure I mix up the lyrics and I make up a couple of my own. But these are the actual lyrics for Desperado.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll try not to break into song. But, you know, I do it on occasion. So, Desperado by the Eagles. Obviously, total credit to them. So, but this speaks to me really well. All right. So, Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one. I know that you've got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the Queen of Diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know, the Queen of Hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no younger. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh, freedom, well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. Don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the nighttime from the day. You're losing all your highs and lows. Ain't it funny how the feeling goes away? Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? Come down from your fences. Open the gate. It may be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. You better let somebody love you. Let somebody love you. Oops, sorry. You better let somebody love you before it's too late.
I like that song.
I love those words.
I know.
That's a great song.
I sing it to the kids.
I can hear Don Henley singing it right now.
Oh, I love it. And I'm a huge Don Henley fan.
Oh, man, yeah, he's great.
I knew, and one of these days, those are some of my favorite bands, Eagles, Beatles, it's so easy to pick out some of their songs and sing to them, but their messages are just timeless.
Yep.
So that's a good one. And also
from
John Arnold, that is from Q95, and that's the Eagles. I've been listening to that great music on Q95 for so long. So I thought that was appropriate.
That was appropriate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw the Eagles in 1994, the Hell Freezes Over
tour. Oh, my God, did you really? Oh, I would have loved to have been there.
I wasn't even an Eagles fan. I was like, they're all right. They're okay. And, oh, my gosh. Now, and that's when I became an Eagles fan,
94.
And it, you're listening to them, and they sound like a recording. But they're, I mean, they're not.
In the presence of greatness is what
I'm like. Oh, man, these dudes are. Yeah.
I watched it live. You know, you watch, I think it was on VH1 or MTV or whatever. They played it, and so you could watch it. And then I think my brother bought the, you know, the CDs and the box set and all that stuff. But it was, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen.
When it was old Deer Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Music theater.
No, I've seen like Def Leppard numerous times. And it's same thing. It's like listening to an album.
Yeah.
It's like, why? How can they be so perfect?
Their harmony. They're that good. Yeah. Amazing, you know. And I was so sad when Glenn Frey passed away.
Yeah, right.
Three or four years ago. Yeah. Something like that. And it's like, oh. But
yeah.
Yeah, I know, and a lot of those guys were great solo artists. You know, Joe Walsh had a good solo career. Glenn Frey.
Yep. Life's been good to Joe Walsh.
Yeah. You know, he should have written a song.
He should have written
a song. I love that song.
Plug for Joe Walsh.
No, but yeah, that was great. Thanks for sharing that, Sean.
I guess no problem.
That was a good, So what else
Shout
we got?
Shout out to the Eagles. Well, then we have the announcements to follow that. So we obviously always, you know, want to talk about how this community and that we're proud that you're part of it. We want you to be able to get a hold of us with stories or how you're doing or anything that you want to do to order merch, which we, of course, have merch. And that is at makopodcast@gmail.com. Like I said, merch of all kinds, anything you want. Highs and lows, we've gone through that many, many times.
They would make excellent presents.
Excellent presents.
And,
for anybody in your immediate family, friends, or even enemies. Just even get them for your enemies.
Yeah, might as well. we don't care who you get them for.
I know, yeah.
And I know we're still in July, but, you know, October, Halloween's not that far away.
Christmas in July.
And, Christmas.
Well, there's a countdown. On our page, they're doing the countdown to Halloween. So.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I think it'd be a good, you know, few more months here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be a nice time to get some merch from Middle Asian Creeped Out.
So. Yeah.
So you can email us, you can Facebook us, you can Instagram us, your order.
Facebook us or Facebook?
Facebook us.
Facebook us.
Ooh, that didn't sound right, did it? Facebook us. This is why I shouldn't slur my words, and I'm no alcohol
Wipe
involved.
Wipe your Facebook us.
Well, something. So you can obviously find us on Instagram and Facebook at Middle Aged and Creeped Out. We just want to thank you guys for all your support being here. We're here for you guys. You're here for us. And we just really appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
As our listeners, as our creepies. And we just can't thank you enough. So thank you for being here in your ears. Letting us be in your ears anyway. It's kind of weird. I got kind of weird with that, didn't I? So you can listen to us.
Somebody's ears.
I just made this weird, but it's a good weird. So anyway, you can listen to us on all major platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, however you want to listen to us, a countless number of ways, other ways. We are also, our hub station is Audio Boom. So, and I can't hammer this home enough. Every single episode we talk about the importance of mental health and getting help and being here to help each other. Mm-hmm. So we want to give out those help hotlines. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline is 1-800-662-4357. Those last four are help. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. And the last four on that is talk.
Excellent as always. Thank you, Sean.
Yips, yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, waiting for the words.
Oh, is this my part?
That's your part.
The words.
I guess this is a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. So we want to thank you again, Creepies, for listening to episode 20. So until next time, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.